allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call, please.
Order roll call. Commissioner Munoz?
Present.
Commissioner Hensley?
Here.
Commissioner Hale?
Here.
Commissioner Solu?
Here.
Commissioner House? Looks like he's absent. Chair Winter?
Here.
And Commissioner Mahan?
Is excused.
Is excused.
Now we'll have a public comment period. Members of the audience wishing to address the commission on any matter other than the public hearing items may do so at this time. Comments are generally limited to 3 minutes, although we're a little flexible. So if you'll come up and state your name, please, for the record.
Oh, good. I don't have to write it down. I'm Nancy Johnson, a Morro Bay citizen, and I'm here this evening to share with you an exciting event that's going to take place. The Friends of the Library and the Morro Bay Garden Club are presenting Dahlia Days, which is celebrating our city's flower, the dahlia. I'll bet most of you, like many of us, didn't even know that the city had a flower, much less that it's the dahlia. So we'd like you and anybody in the audience to please join us for lunch and conversation on the patio of the Morro Bay Library on Friday, August 18th from 11 to 1. We're going to feed you. And if you have dahlias that you grow in your yard, please bring them, and we're going to have a fabulous display of all these dahlias. We have two very special guests coming who will be there. Dr. Joe Sable, who is a renowned expert on dahlias, will be there with a table to answer questions about dahlias. And I saw him this morning at the Mid-State Fair. He was entering his dahlias. He always wins first place. But he had a yellow dahlia that was, I tell you, this big around. So he really knows how to grow them. Another special guest will be a lady named Donna Dysart, who's a floral arranger and floral design teacher, and she'll be doing flower arrangements with dahlias. So if you'd like to know more about dahlias...
Hello, I'm Betty Forsyth, and I came just to thank the Parks and Recreation for all the things they've done and all the helping hands the community has supported with Arbor Day and the Egg Hunt, and also to bring to your attention, you know, in this town we have a fabulous history. Nancy just told us about finding out about the flowers, and that came from some albums that somebody had in their house, and their mother was involved with a garden club, and that information came out. Then we have Gary Ream and Roger Castle with their little book about Morro Bay, and then we had Jane Bailey with Morro Bay yesteryear. So I'm giving you a little piece of history that happened in 1946. So that's a long time ago, before some of you were born, but not before I was born. And this is the first annual Morro Jubilee. And it had a lot of activities and a lot of things. And, you know, we always think that what we're doing now is the best ever. But, you know, we've had it so good here, and it's because of all the helping hands and the people like the Recreation Parks Commissioners that make sure that things always happen, and citizens like Nancy and others. Thank you so much. I'm going to give this to Joe, and then you guys can look at it.
Thank you, Betty. Anybody else wish to speak? Okay, we'll close the public comment period. Any of the commissioners have any comments on the public comments? Okay. I would like some action on approving the minutes of the June 8th, 2006 meeting. Do I hear a motion?
Second.
I second.
Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? None. Okay. Now we'll go on to announcements. Are there any announcements, Joe?
Well, the staff has no announcements for this meeting.
Any of the commissioners have any announcements?
Is this the appropriate time to say that they're looking for soccer coaches?
I don't see why not.
Okay. They're looking for soccer coaches for U6 soccer and...
We'd like to introduce from County Parks, Jan Delino. And she's here for a presentation regarding that connector.
Okay. Oh. Hi, my name is Jan DeLeo, and I'm from San Luis Obispo County Parks, your sister agency. Tonight, we'd like to present to you a project known as the Morro Bay to Cayucas Connector. And basically what it is a bicycle pedestrian path, similar probably to the Bob Jones pathway, that would connect the northern portion of Morro Bay to the southern portion of Cayucas. To do this project, we've been working on it for about a little bit over a year. At this point, we're just doing a constraints analysis and the preliminary engineering. And with me tonight is David Foote, who's doing the preliminary engineering. He's with Firma. And then Keith Miller, who is with the Morro Group and who produced the constraints analysis. We are only at the preliminary stages of trying to determine really a route at this point. And what we're looking at is both sides of Highway 1, either the east side or the west side. And there is actually three options, because one option could be the bicycle path going in two directions on either side or both sides of the freeway as well. This project is being financed by grants. We got a Scenic Byways grant. We've got money from SLOCOG, and we've got money from the California Coastal Conservancy. So there are basically the whole project is funded by grant funds at this point. What we'd like to do is what David Foote will take you through a little bit of the constraints analysis and the different routes, and what we would like from your group is some ideas of your preferences and some of your concerns. And what we're doing at this point is going to different agencies and getting their input, so when we do decide on the preferred route, it's based on input from basically the two communities that will be served by this connector. Just to let you know where we've been so far, we've been a traveling roadshow. We've been to the Cayucas Community Advisory Council twice. We just finished up with them last night. And we've been to your Public Works Commission, I think it's called, that does bikeways. And at the end of this month, we'll be going to the county's Parks and Recreation Commission. We have an appointment set up with State Parks to talk about certain routes, specifically over where Old Creek comes onto State Parks property and how we might get over Old Creek. And
okay, I'm going to kind of stand this way so I can point. I've got this, and hopefully they'll walk you through it. Do you think it would be good to turn the lights off and get a little better resolution? I don't know if that
works
for the... cameras, but it would be good for you, I suspect. Let me begin by just piggybacking on what Jan. That looks. Oh, that's
better.
Way better.
Much
better. Yeah, thank you. This is a very much of a collaborative effort, and in addition to going to the various bodies that are in the cities and county, a task force was assembled that includes Jan, and then Jeff Oliveira of County Planning. And then SLOCOG, which is one of the grantors, I guess, Darren Brown. Caltrans is the administrator for local assistant funds, which are some of the grant monies. And so they're assembled there on the task force for that reason, as well as the fact that we're going to be probably in there right away someplace or another along this. And so they've been an integral part of the planning. Tim Duff with the Coastal Conservancy, and then myself as a consultant with Bill Henry and Keith Miller, who's here tonight, and Mike Nunley with Boyle Engineering will be helping us as we fine-tune the geometry of the routes. Then some of the other members, Vince Cicero with State Parks, representative from Cayucas Advisory Committee, Robert Davis, who's here tonight with the Bike Club, as well as Adam Fukushima with the Bike Coalition. And then we've had several people. Andreas hasn't made it to a meeting yet, but Frank and Mike, I think, have both come to some of our task force meetings from Morro Bay, and we've gotten their input. So, next, please. Okay, how are we going to get that? Oh, that's right. Let's see. Cutting it off a little bit. What can we do, Jan? Do you have a shrink button? Oh, that's pretty good. I'll paraphrase it anyway. What we're going to do is go through the goals and objectives for you. But the fundamental goal is to provide a recreational path connection between north end of Morro Bay and south part of Cayucas. And that's basically what the grant was written as. That's the key thing we have to adhere to and not deviate from to keep keep within our grant. So the path is located and designed to accommodate a variety of users. We think commuter bicyclists will use it as well as recreational bicyclists in some varying proportion, as well as pedestrians. It's very likely that whether the pedestrians use it as a through route to the community or just to use it to go along the coastal bluff, they will use it. And, of course, as we'll see, if it's an in or minimize them, and that's the purpose of the constraint study that was done that we'll summarize at the end of this. Next. The path should be designed to conform with both the county and the state bike path standards for all of the things like width and separation from travel lanes and barriers. And there's quite a bit of things that, especially as you get close to the travel lane on a state highway. The path should maximize the user's contact with the coastline, that is the west side. And I'll say right now that that is the consensus preferred side from everyone we've talked to. Pretty much universally. The path should consider the safety of users at the points that the path is going to connect to existing routes or highway crossings and things like that. And to the extent feasible, balancing cost, safety, and environmental constraints, locate the path outside the right-of-way. The reason for that is Caltrans will only consider using their right-of-way if it's been shown that it's infeasible to be outside of it, either for an environmental constraint or an agency or land ownership issue or some regulatory hurdle. So how can we lighten that up? It was a lot lighter the other night. Let's see. We're going to walk you through the map here, and I recognize that probably from your distance, it's going to be a little sketchy, but the aerial photo, if we can lighten it, should become recognizable to you, and the paths are highlighted in kind of these bright colors. But I want to see if they can lighten that. So you get, that's looking better, Keith. Can you do more? Oh, I mean, it's the power of positive thinking. I'm willing it lighter. Almost like the bulb is maybe too dim, and it should be brighter. Is it on? Anybody in staff, anybody know about this thing? Folks in there? Do they see us? Oh, really? Okay, do you have? You tell me. Can you tell where we are on this? You probably can't. I know where we are. Okay, I think what we'll do, if you don't mind, it'll take about right away under certain conditions. Another constraint that we have is Chevron is the landowner over a lot of this segment of the coast between the two communities, and they have indicated a willingness to donate or deed the right-of-way or the easement to do the path on the coastal side. They don't really want to put it on their inland side because obviously they have plans for the rest of their property. They don't want to encumber, which would mean that as a first choice on their end, the path on the east side would be in the Caltrans right-of-way, in which there is ample room. Another issue we have with the Coastal Commission is just issues of bluff setback. And on the west side, as you'll see, we're going to have some constraints about where that's going to go, and we may have some issues with them. Having said that, just about everybody recognizes the value of being on the coastal side through that stretch for everybody, and we're hoping that historically the Coastal Commission has supported that goal and that value, and we're hoping that they'll go with that. The third agency that we're dealing with here is state parks. Obviously, as we move to the north end of Studio Drive and Cayucas, the beach there where we would be trying to cross Old Creek is within their jurisdiction, and we have some, they have issues with resources and visual impacts and so forth. So those are kind of the basic entities we're dealing with, and Morro Bay and the county have other ones too. You know, there's the issues of how we're connecting within the city of Morro Bay, which I'll highlight in a moment. But in general, I would just restate what Jan said, that as we brought this before different bodies, generally we've gotten some really good questions, some good ideas, some things that we need to look at closer. And as the project develops and moves through the process, there will be more study. But in general, the consensus has been very supportive to the project first, and secondly to the coastal route. And that's recognizing we have some obstacles. So is that the new projector? Oh, it's warming up. Yeah, I think it's just a bulb issue myself. But that's definitely better. Okay. Is that better? If I tell you where we are, this is Highway 1. There's the ocean. This is Yerba Buena, Main Street. And this is Toro Lane with the homes along there. That help? Okay. I'm going to take you on the coastal route first, and then we'll go to the inland route. Basically, you have potential routes for people to either park in this area. Morro Bay has an easement over it for access, and that there's probably going to be some concern by residents about having additional bike traffic. An alternative route would be to put it in the Caltrans right-of-way on top of the wall inside their fence for that stretch until we get right about here. And that kind of is nice because it avoids the whole parking lot and the knoll, the grade situation there. It's kind of carved out of a knoll. It'll get you right to there, and then it follows the old roadbed down to here until it gets along this stretch, and then we encounter a very narrow situation where there's been protective rock placed to that we're going to have to deal with. Next slide. So in that area there, the solution would be to construct the path on a raised deck that using helical piers, not driven piles, but they're small. Picture a big corkscrew, you know, about that big around, that they put in with a bracket, and then they can build up from there with a beam and then put the deck. Much like a boardwalk would be constructed, a similar, be about 12 feet wide. It would have guardrails, wooden guardrails. And it would be for this about 300 feet stretch until we get back on a wide enough area there, and then it would be at grade until you get to Toro Creek, in which case it would be a free-spanning bridge, similar to the deck, about that wide with railings, so that we don't get into any permit issues, but it'd be tight up against the existing Caltrans bridge. Then it would move out of the Caltrans right away and following this sort of red line, I'm hoping you can see it, on the bluff top, but as far away from the bluff as possible. And then it would continue down here, maybe following the existing foot trails that are already there, until it reaches the end of Studio Drive right here. Now, at that point, riders coming from Morro Bay would have a decision to either continue on Studio Drive or make a relatively unsafe crossing here at this unsignalized intersection. We're not going to designate it one way or another, but we're pushing or supporting the notion that this should be signed as the preferred route to encourage people to go this way on Studio Drive. And that would take them all the way like this to the signalized intersection at Old Creek. Okay, and that way, at that point, they could cross and get onto Ocean Avenue. And Ocean Avenue is already a designated Class 3 bike path. And it heads on up, as you know, possibly past the cemetery right here, on past the water plant, and under the freeway into downtown. How many people are going to use this? How many will be on foot? We don't really know. But we're going to have to try and come up with some quantification of that. Now, if we can, we're still exploring this option, but we consider it to be one that's potentially has some fatal flaws and definite environmental and permitting obstacles, and that would be how to get across Old Creek here instead of taking people across here to Ocean, to let them continue on Studio and then cross the creek here to connect with Pacific. And Pacific kind of runs all the way along the first tier in, basically, from the bluff all the way through Cayucas. So that, while that's an option, this is State Parks land. It is wetland, waters of the U.S. It is highly constrained. and very visual. As you're driving through Cayucas, this is like your first view then of Studios Beach and all of that, and any kind of structure there is going to have an effect. From here to here, it would be a raised deck again because you have inundation and floodwaters, okay, as well as wetland, and so there's just an issue. As we're crossing the creek, while most of the time the water's pretty narrow in the flood stage and the delineated waterway is quite wide, I think it's about a 200-foot span, which would mean a prefabricated bridge because you aren't going to be putting piers down in the water. That's just not going to happen. Prefabricated bridge would probably have a truss about 10, 11 feet tall. That's basically the railing on the bridge. It'll look sort of like a trestle. And we're thinking that's going to be a little tough to sell with coastal. But it's still on the table. I mean, everybody recognizes that while it's still a great coastal experience, it'd be great to get people right along the coast. And so that's not dead yet, but it's struggling. Okay, so that's the coastal route. We'll go back to the beginning again, and we'll walk you through the east. Now, on this one, again, signalized intersection. Riders would get on here at Yerba Buena in Maine. And this stretch right through here, as you probably can imagine, just visualizing it, is a steep cut slope when they built the highway. It is possible to bench in the path into that slope, use a couple of four-foot retaining walls, and get it right along the highway with enough separation from the traveling that you could squeak that through. The cost of doing those walls is very similar to the cost of doing the raised deck here. So the two route, less visual impact potentially than that. But anyway, we would continue there, and then the ground opens up, and we continue on Chevron property, or Caltrans property, all along here. There's ample width, no big grade problems, all the way up to the end of Ocean right here. Again, Ocean is a Class 3 designated bike path, and they would just continue all the way this way. Now, if somebody wanted to go back this way or do anything, obviously there's lots of street network choices for them. And again, this route would kind of be only selected if this one was totally wouldn't work, but it's still possible that they could come back the other way. So there's a lot of permutations. But basically, that's the inland route. Again, the environmental constraints are similar in that you have some cultural resource areas of some significance, not high significance, but some. There are some little wetland areas. There are some areas with plants that are sensitive that will have to be avoided. And I'm going to let Keith then go through this, and you're not going to be able to read this from here, but again, the aerial photo is lighter, and he'll maybe be able to key you in. You want to do that? I got a pointer for you. Give him the high points.
Hi, I'm Keith Miller with the Morrow Group. We worked, as Jan mentioned, we worked on the constraints analysis, and the constraints analysis really tries to do three things, and one is it establishes what are known as the baseline conditions, so what's kind of on the ground right now, how many parking spaces may exist where people want to stage and use the trail, what sort of plant communities and wildlife may live out there, what sort of archaeological resources may exist along the trail, those types of things. The second thing it does is it describes the regulatory environment, which is pretty intensive, as you know, especially in this part of the world. The Coastal Commission, the county, the city of Morro Bay, all these different agencies are going to be involved, and they all have different rules and regulations that Jan's going to have to follow as she moves the project forward. And the last thing that the constraints analysis does is it summarizes kind of these baseline conditions and the regulations, and it comes up with what may be constraints for the project and things that Dave and Jan are going to need to consider as they continue to design this project. And the hope is that if we kind of figure out what the constraints are up front, we can design a project that'll be that'll move through the process a little easier on down the road. So maybe just real quickly I'll summarize what we kind of think of as the hot spots. I'm actually having trouble seeing where they are from here too, but as Dave mentioned, this cut slope here along Highway 1, there may be some visual impacts. It's not necessarily the prettiest part of Highway 1, but it's what people are used to looking at, and suddenly if you have a retaining wall and maybe some fencing that are keeping the bikes off the road, it's not necessarily as appealing as what's there right now. This delineates the Chevron facility. As you may know, there's some contamination associated with the old tanks and the pipelines on that facility, and they're hopefully going to be cleaning up, beginning that cleanup project soon. There may be some contamination that we don't know about now that's going to be uncovered if a trail is built on that part of the property. There are some cultural resources, some archaeological resources located generally in this area. They'll need to be considered. There are some wetlands. There are some very sensitive plant species and wildlife species that live near the creek. There are some mapped wetland areas in the Caltrans right-of-way in this area. This hot spot here is the south end of Studio Drive. And as some of you know, there are houses located there. It's a really popular coastal access area, too. A lot of the surfers use it. A lot of the people who are going to walk along the bluff use that as well. And so we need to kind of figure out how we can work a bike trail in there as well and make all of those uses kind of fit together. It's something that's going to take quite a bit of planning. What else do we have? This would be the kind of the northern end of the east side alignment near what's going to be the Cayucas Skate Park, and I think Norma Rose Park, is that the name of it, in Cayucas. So that's another spot where there's going to be kind of competing uses for a limited number of parking spaces and a lot of different users. And finally, the infamous bridge over Old Creek. As Dave mentioned, there's a lot of biological issues, a lot of permanent issues. It's a flood hazard, obviously, because the creek goes through there. And there's a lot of sensitive species. And a lot of agencies taking a good hard look if you're going to be building bridges on the coast of California across creeks. So that's briefly kind of the hot spots and things that we came up with the constraints analysis. And I'm available if you have any specific questions on any of the resources or what's in the document. And the document, I should mention, is available on the Parks and Rec website, which I'm not sure. Then it's www.slowcountyparks.org.
And state parks, and try and firm this up, and then we would begin the next stage, which is a preliminary project design, which would be the selection of one of the preferred route and develop it in more detail in terms of width and profile and so forth. And then at that point you have a project, and Jan would then take this through the entitlement process to get a coastal development permit, and there would be a CEQA document done at that time also that would build upon the constraint study that was done already. And then that would take us, you know, right here would mean we've got a project, it's permitted, we know what we want, now we just need money. And money may come in, and Jan can talk about that a little bit, but then the next step would be construction plans and permitting for that, and then, of course, the last step would be get it built. So that's where we are in the process. I think that's all the slides, isn't it? That's all the slides. So what do we want from you? We would like your input. I guess there's two levels that we found are good ways to phrase this. One is, what do you think about the notion of the project in general? And then secondly, is there a preference on east or west in terms of your support for one or the other? And if there's not, you like both of them or you're split on that, that's fine. And then thirdly, depending on how you fall on those first two, what are the particular concerns that we need to look at and consider as we move forward? So kind of three things that help the chair perhaps guide discussion, and if you want to do it by motion, I don't know how you work, but if you do motion, then that's fine. So you would be making a recommendation really to your city council, but it's just telling us where we're heading here. So I think that's good. Staff probably could advise you too on how to craft the discussion and motion. Questions?
Yeah. Before, do you have any questions?
Just a general question. What's the anticipated or desired time frame? Obviously, there's a lot of unknowns, but what's a typical process like this involve?
Well, we should be through this. We'll never. Jan laughs. We have funding to kind of keep moving. We should be able to get this thing to a point here in the fall where we know what the preferred alignment is, and then we would develop plans, and then really it goes back to the to county planning and Jan to process the entitlement. And that's going to take a while. It'll be sometime next year before we get to the County Planning Commission. And we would probably have, this thing could happen in this decade. How's that? We're more than halfway through it already. So I think that's safe, right, Jan? In this decade? In our lifetime? Anyway.
Any other questions?
Yeah. What kind of opposition, if any, have you run into on the project as a whole?
The main concerns that have come up are people that live on Studio Drive, which, as you know, that's narrow. People park along both sides for coastal access. A lot of people ride on it now, and you know, I think that some of those people are going to continue to do that, and that, and for that reason, it's really hard to say how many new riders are you going to have. Is it just really going to be accommodating people that are actually riding there now, getting on the highway, or maybe even riding on the dirt path? We don't know. We may need to make those counts. We may need to stand there and figure it out on a Saturday. But that's been the main concern with Cayucas. When we came before your group earlier, there weren't any major things. I think everybody recognizes that the Toro Lane issue, we're going to have to just go through that and see where we fall. As that moves through the process. And then lastly, as I mentioned, I think we've hit on this well, is the whole issue of whether we cross Old Creek. That's, I think, you know, State Parks has pretty much said it doesn't follow their goals and policies for their master plan for their facility, but we're still dialoguing.
One other thing. I do run into a lot of people that ride and commute. I own a bike shop, and it's been a long time coming for this project. I'm all for it. I do believe it should be along the beach side. I think you'd be kind of defeating the purpose of the scenic value of the route if you go on the roadside. There's probably, you know, good aspects to both decisions, whichever way you go.
Right. Okay.
Thank you.
Any other questions? I have one more.
You mentioned going around on this road show. What, again, can you remind me what was the public opportunity to participate in feedback? So you mentioned Studio Drive, neighbors providing feedback naturally.
Right. The Cayucas Advisory Council. We met with them twice, and there were members of the public there both time, and there was a good discussion. Good things came out of it, I think. When we came before your Public Works Committee.
Advisory.
There were, I think there was one or two people from the public that spoke, but there, we have to cross Toro Creek either way, and Toro Creek's not real problematic because we would put the bridge right next to the Caltrans bridge. The channel's narrow enough that bridge is not a big deal. We can free span it, not a big cost, not visually obtrusive. Old Creek is a whole different matter, as I mentioned, and I think the connection from Morro Bay to Cayucas works without the Old Creek link, basically, from the end of Studio Drive to Pacific. It works without it because Ocean Street, via the signal there at Old Creek Road, takes you all the way into town on a good route. You know, once you get to the cemetery in there, it's a great ride. It's like your own bike path. So we feel like it doesn't stand or fall with Old Creek, that we could still go coastal or inland with or without it.
Yeah, because I like the idea of it going on the west side, the ocean side. I think that'd be a nice ride. I guess the other problem would be, or we'd have to really consider, is the parking, because I'm sure there's a lot of tourists that are going to want to park and maybe get off their bikes there. So that's, I guess, a concern we're going to have to look at also.
Yeah, I think in the sequel, we've done a little field reconnaissance, and on the Morro Bay end, there's a lot of street frontage that's pretty good down Yerba Buena as it turns there. And probably the volumes of parking that we'd be talking about in the worst case could be accommodated in Morro Bay pretty good. It gets tougher at Studio Drive, because even though Norma Rose Park back up by the cemetery is going to have public parking, I think a lot of people that are going to use the path recreationally are probably going to be more apt to go down to the end of Studio Drive and get on their bike, especially if they've got an 8-year-old riding with them. They're not going to be as likely to ride down Ocean on a Class 3 and cross. They may, But these are things that are really hard to predict. You kind of have to just use your judgment by looking at other similar projects and the community and the number of routes and go, how much parking's the right number? I frankly don't know, but we're going to scratch our heads and think about it quite a bit.
A lot of people do park at Cloisters and start off there because there's real nice bike paths in there. I could see that being as like an overflow or maybe a
starting point. Right, if they want to ride a little longer, yeah, because it's not a bad ride either on Highway 1 or through the neighborhood, right? Yeah. Yeah, very possible.
Interesting. What's the distance one way looking?
Okay.
Just in terms of timing and funding, once we get a little bit further and have a preferred route, we would apply to SLOCOG to get construction money as well. How long the project takes has in part to do with whether we can get additional funding, which I think for these community connectors, they are considered a priority, and then what environmental constraints we fall into. And in terms of the public participation as well, since this will be a permit project, we will do noticing and get public input that way as well through the permit process in addition. So there will be plenty of opportunities for the public to come and comment and talk about how it affects their particular street or neighborhood as well.
Well, it's whether you want to take a position on the routing, and we could do that if someone would like to make a motion. If you feel comfortable that you know enough about the project.
Well, I mean, as far as knowledge on the projects, it's just what the presentation is. But if we had to make a motion, I would make one to continue with the project on the west side of the highway. And I'm not sure if there's any other recommendation you would have to at this time make.
I second that.
Okay. Discussion? Discussion?
Oh, sorry.
I agree, too. It should probably go on the west side of the highway for people to get the most value and for people who will use it the most. What I do want to see happen is to make sure that all of the environmental concerns are taken care of primarily, especially on that side of the highway. And there are sensitive, he's saying, archaeological areas, and I think that that's really important, too. So, you know, provided all of those are addressed thoroughly, then I think that, you know, I would completely support it.
I'm sure that they'll have to be, especially with the Coastal Commission involved.
Right.
I have a comment, sure. Mm-hmm. I think the notion's fantastic. I have two young children and just took them to the Bob Jones Trail last week for the first time, 6 and 9. And, you know, the and see the value of it, I'm sure will only do the project well.
Any other comments?
I'm going to abstain from this because I wasn't here for the presentation due to my own personal business matters. So, thank you.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Nobody's opposed. Okay.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. And I guess we should let the City Council know that we heard the presentation and that we support it.
Yeah, I'm not too sure about the protocol and the follow-up with council, but we'll make sure that the word does get to them, either through an interact or a direct way at their meeting.
Okay.
Would you like to move on to item A2?
Yes, the review of the annual parks tour.
Review of the annual parks tour. I don't know if everyone's able to attend that tour. But I would like to go through some of the highlights and some of the locations that you went on the tour and touch base on some of the main concepts. If you wanted to add something at a particular park while I'm covering it, feel free to step in and bring whatever you have on that item. I believe the count is about 16 sites that you went to visit. The first was at Del Mar Park. That's off of Ironwood Street. And the commission approved, or actually recommended the approval of using the park in lieu funds for the patchwork on the walkway, and that project has been completed. Repairs and renovations on the south parking lot are still needed. No funding at this time. And there is hope to replace the wooden play structure and the dome at the same time. That's in the playground area. The next item that was visited was North Point at the end of Toro Lane. We just were discussing regarding the bike path. There's some unmanicured areas and maintenance. The assessment district right now covers the cost for everything that's happening at North Point. However, it's projected that that cost, if it remained the same, would not cover expenses in the future. So I think that there's one thing that's stable there. That's the assessment district. The only thing that's not stable is the cost for staffing and maintenance. The next item was Lila Kaiser Park at Park Street area at Coleman Drive. I believe the discussion was regarding the big fun run, the Rock to Pier run. We were estimating about 650 to 900 participants. The number is just about 700. So we had a pretty good turnout. We were hoping for a stronger turnout, but we got 700 runners. It's a good turnout for the run, and I think everything went really well. Anchor Park on the Embarcadero also went to Centennial Parkway on the Embarcadero. Talked about the chess club, and the chess club's out there every Saturday from noon till 5. Folks want to stop in and play with the chess club. They invite visitors to play. So that was kind of like the concept we have at the chessboard. And so those of you who are out there who might be listening could stop in on a Saturday and play some chess. Mariner Park on the Embarcadero, Tylands Park on the Embarcadero, and Morrill Cove Park, which the city has taken over the maintenance, which consists of some gardening, some daily trash patrol, and they are looking for a group to adopt the park to take care of the trash patrol. And that's, again, that's Morrill Cove Park, also known as the Comer Development. Just in case you guys are kind of, the names kind of throw everyone off. The next location is Bayshore Bluffs over on Bayshore Drive. About 75 feet of new fencing was installed along the street. The cost was approximately $5,000. And I believe that fence is up. Monty Young Park, Shasta and South Street, and we've got two tennis courts there. There's a new split rail fence that was installed in the west end of the park. Staff has also been working with the neighbors on some drainage issues, and the drainage along the south side is a concern, and we're working with the residents with that. City Park, Morro Bay Boulevard and Harbor Street. We had three dead Monterey pines that were removed on the north end of the park and replaced with three Canary Island pines on the south side of the park. And the sides were switched so we could keep some of the debris off of the basketball courts, kind of make a little bit more efficiency in the park. Also discussed was the repainting of the park signs, if you remember that. And Bob Trout is a member of the Parks Division. He'll be addressing those. Also, the rotary mower is in critical condition, and we need to replace that in the near future. Reservations and 5 profit-making group reservations. Can we recap that again for anybody?
Mm-hmm.
You do? Non-residents, 29. Residents, 42. Nonprofits, 32. And profits, 5. Total revenues for parks, excluding the insurance, $6,800. Like I said, that was for the previous fiscal year. We don't have any number. The numbers don't include, city use. So anything that was involved and related to the city is not on here. And also drop-in use. Obviously, you know, city parks open to anybody to drop in to barbecue or have a little family gathering, and those are not counted in these reservations.
So if I might...
Follow up, please.
Yes, follow up. So obviously, the majority of the usage is by local people, local groups, and by nonprofits. The majority of the use is by those people.
Yes.
And that's a good thing.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
Good. Okay, thank you.
I think all use is good. If we're catering, certain parks will cater to the locals and certain will draw in more visitors. And you won't get the visitors count. It's like a Mariner Park or Anchor Park. They're going to drop in there, have lunch, and go. They've used your park for maybe 20, 30 minutes, but we don't have them on the reservation.
Okay, thank you.
That's a good observation. Actually, that concludes my report on the annual parks tour. I'd have it open to any questions right now.
Johnny.
John?
Joe, on that, the Coleman project, that's the cliff area right there?
Yes, sir.
Could you kind of, maybe so the audience listening to, how would that volunteer thing work as far as like picking up the trash? Would that just be the stuff that's there?
Yeah, we would most likely, now I would want to talk with Lou from the Parks Division, most likely it would be something similar to Thailand's Park, where we have Adopt a Park there, and when you have a group that comes in, they have access to a trash can, liners, trash picking up utensils. Whether that location was at Thailand's or another spot for this Moro Cove would have to be discussed. But most likely they would have some type of an arrangement, a frequency in which they would visit the park and get there, and kind of the duties, picking up trash from here to here, you're dumping this can, that can, so forth. So it would be somewhat outlined, but extremely flexible with the group that wanted to participate.
Any other questions for Joe? Okay, thanks, Joe.
You're very welcome. Oh, I do. Chair Winter and Commission, the status report for the Recreation Parks Commission includes current projects and programs, and we're hoping this is an unfinished business for a long time coming. Now, there's certain items that I will talk about. I won't talk about all of the items in which we're involved in. I'll start off with the Teen Center. Summer hours began June the 16th, and they are open Monday through Friday, 1 to 7, and on Saturdays from 1 until 10 p.m. Closed every Sunday, and special events are happening at the Teen Center this summer. And a couple of them are tournament days, movie nights, and they're going to have an end of the summer barbecue. So all those teens out there who are looking for something to do, contact the Teen Center, Rockies. We're also taking trips on Friday nights to San Luis Obispo, and that's a very limited number of participants for that program. But again, they go into San Luis and go to a movie and then come back. It's a dynamite little program. The next one's on August the 4th. And also on the 18th. And so if you want any more information, contact the Teen Center, or you can go to our website, and there's a teen link on our department. The skate park down on the Embarcadero is open for summer hours, Monday through Saturday, 2 to 5. And also, if you're looking for a skate park party, you can rent our park for $100 for 2 hours. And the parties are usually on Saturday or Sunday, and they are always prior or just after our operating hours. The Del Mar tennis courts, actually there was no action at the last city council meeting regarding the tennis courts, June the 24th. They had capital projects that were agendized, and they were trying to get some priorities. There was no priority set for the Del Mar tennis courts. The current top projects, and I don't know if they've given them a number or not, but the top ones that Public Service is working on are the fire station, the harbor walk, and also the roundabout. So there's just some big projects up on the list. I know Bill Boucher's got quite a few other ones on that list. Where exactly the Del Mar tennis courts are, I couldn't tell you. The community pool, there's no new update. North Point and Cloisters Assessment District, the council did uphold the final final public meeting or hearing to levy that annual assessment. It's our all of our activity guides, and that is currently running. It's for the summer months. It's for July, August, and September. We're a little bit off calendar getting that up and running, but we're going full steam right now. Summer camp for kids, the summer program for kids has seen an incredible increase in participation this summer, and I'll highlight some of those numbers later on in the participation report. Kids Club which is different from the kids' camp. Our kids' club is our school time activity, happens in the fall. All of them, our program is very close to maxing out, and we do have some openings left in the kindergarten program, but that's about it. So it's obviously, we know it's a very popular program, and it's become extremely tough to keep up with the demand. The entrance sculpture update, park staff has met with a representative from the Rotary Club, and they're discussing the maintenance agreement for operating the details of the water feature on the rock. Staff and the representative will continue to meet regarding this issue. So it's just a matter of coming to meeting of expectations for the Rotary Club to get involved in supporting the rock sculpture. Junior lifeguard program, the second session in the junior lifeguard program has began July the 24th. Had fewer participants than the first session, but still a fairly strong showing. Though we will compete against the Cayucas Guards on August the 9th. And something that's happening very unique this year is that the county, instead of sending one team down to the Nationals down in Huntington Beach, they're going to collect a series of individuals from each program, from Cayucas, Morro Bay, Avila Beach, and Pismo Beach. And that collective group will be our county team that's going down to Huntington to compete in the Junior Lifeguard Nationals. So it's very exciting for us to try to be a little more competitive. That's what we're trying to do, is be more competitive down south, because we've got stronger teams down there. And the special event policy was approved by the City Council at their June the 12th meeting, and they made no changes to your earlier recommendations. And there is no new, since this has been printed, it may have changed. So, but this is the latest and greatest that the city staff is providing you. I'd like to open it up for any questions at this time.
Any questions for Joe? Johnny?
Yeah, I have a question on the Del Mar tennis courts. Didn't we get approved or receive a grant for that? And if we did, is there like a limit, a time limit where we could use it or lose it?
Yes, there will be. The specific guidelines and restrictions on that grant money I'm not versed on right now. Yeah. But you're right. The grant monies do come with strings. There are timelines in which certain things need to be done. So that may lapse by the time this becomes the highest priority for the city, or it may not. And that timeline, like I said, I don't know. I can try to get back to you with that timeline.
Yeah, I was just curious because, these others are more important, really, but I just was wondering if by the time they were ever completed, if our time would have run out for that grant. So.
There's always a possibility of that.
Right.
Even with the current projects that you see now, that are anything that's grant-funded, and anything, monies that come from someone else, they've got strings, and they'll have deadlines and criteria in which we need to meet. And that the deadlines for that money definitely need to be looked at and dealt with. Hopefully, we can work it out.
And, Joe, I'm not sure that those monies will cover the cost of a tennis court anyway. Is that correct?
The details on the project I'm not versed with, but last I had heard that it wasn't quite 100%. Funding for that project. Now the project has changed quite a bit with the soils testing and that requirement. So like I said, I'm not too sure if all the money's coming in will cover it, but there are several major issues that need to be addressed sooner than later.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Christy.
Joe, on Kids Club, just wondering if we have a net right now regarding if we still have folks on the waiting list. I know there was a period in which folks had a month to submit their registration forms and payments, and I know the expectation from last year and maybe prior years is that once in a while a couple folks might drop out. There was a waiting list, and then some folks, change plans. Is there currently a waiting list after we know now, all the registrations have been turned in?
Contact us, put your name and number into us, we'll double check the waiting list and see where we're at and get it current. But I don't, we're not too sure if we've maxed out. What I have is that we're all full except for kindergarten.
Thank you.
Okay.
Any other questions? A motion to accept this for file.
A motion to accept B1 for file.
Second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay. Any written citizens' reports and correspondence? I didn't see any in the packet.
There wasn't any, and there's none to present here at the meeting.
Okay. On to D, reports.
Chair Winter and Commission, I will attempt to present D1, 2, and 3 together, and at that time I'd open it up for questions, and then we can hopefully come to consensus on sending this to the file or not. What you have here is more than the usual reports, and I'll start with the participation report for youth services. There's two reports here covering May and June, and I will try to go through just some of the programs. If something strikes you and you have got questions, just maybe put a little note by it, and when I get to the end, we can come back and cover some of those questions. Some of the programs that were up in participation for the month of May was 39 Plus Dance, Kids Club, and a few things that should be noted, because the participation, the numbers are relatively the same, around 36,000 and a half. But you realize that a lot of programs aren't available, and they aren't available for either month. The Easter egg hunt, the lighted holiday lighting of a tree, star parties, teen late nights, teen kickbacks, teen monster mash, teen trips. These are all zeros for the year to date, but they are labeled for the previous fiscal year. So the numbers. The totals are about the same. Realize participation in the programs you do have has gone up. And for the month of June, on the youth services participation report, we talked about the summer kids club, kids camp, and the numbers that have gone up. You'll see the numbers on your report don't reflect that. They actually show things like that, kind of throw the numbers off, and you should know what's going on. And then we already talked about some of the programs that were deleted. And I'll move on from the youth services over to the sports numbers. And the sports, we're covering 3 months, April, May, and June. Participation number to note in the April month is the Adult Softball League. Those numbers are way down. And the reason they're down is because we didn't play a whole lot of softball in April. If you recall, there was a whole lot of rain in April. Well, when the rain hits and we don't play, it affects the numbers down the line. And we're just getting caught up with you and letting you know, hey, these numbers are down for a particular reason. A couple of new programs that you might want to take note of. Kids Love Soccer. There was zero last year. We're up to 168. Participated in this last month. And youth softball, you'll notice those numbers are really big. They went from 14-20 to 33-13. We had four teams last year in youth softball. This year we had 10 teams. Where all the kids come from? They redid the boundaries, and we included surrounding communities. And next thing you know, we've got a really strong program, and it went really well this last year. Sports in the month of May had a lot of down arrows, unfortunately, and I don't think they're huge, but small declines in some participation in your ACE class, ACEs, which is an exercise class for seniors, Aikido self-defense, that was a significant drop of almost 600 hours. Flip City was down a little bit. Everybody Loves Fitness was down just a little bit. Martial arts for kids was down for a little bit. Basketball was down. But youth coach pitch was up. So you have a few ups and a few downs within the sports. And we're always looking for new ways to bring people into the program. And in the month of June, A couple of areas to note. Kids love soccer, again. Remember the last month was only a fraction of the year-to-date, 469 as of the end of June. And junior lifeguard program, last year was at 1678, and this year-to-date, as of the end of June, was 22. You notice it rings through for the next month as well. And some of these hours are tied right with the department's programs. So when you have teen kickbacks, Monster Mash in this facility, you've got star parties in the star program, you don't see those anymore. They don't add up the hours for facility use. So you're seeing some change in the number of hours that we're actually recording. We are seeing an increase in Cuesta College and what they're bringing. They're doing a lot of classes through the Senior Citizens Incorporated. They have a travel class. They've got a music appreciation class. They've got a watercolor class. And I believe these programs are offered free to the community, the limited number of participants. And they also brought in a class for garment making, which is an actual registered class for Cuesta. So where the seniors are providing some of the programs through Cuesta at no cost, and they're not charged for the facility. We'll see the usage, but we won't see the money. We will see some monies back from the regular program, from this garment-making class that Quest is putting on, and he will sign up, and it's an 18-week class or however long a semester is. So we're seeing some revenues there, but we won't see and the numbers. So Quest has been getting involved out here quite a bit, so I always want to bring that to your attention. And we've got a lot more meetings now as well. I've noticed there's quite a few more subcommittees and ad hoc committees and advisory committees and so forth. There's the staple groups that we have, the planning and the PWAB and the promotions and recreation and parks, but there's also additions of the View Corridor and the New Futures. So there's a few other ones out there that escape me, but you'd think we'd be seeing more of a rise in the hours used, and hopefully we're going to see an increase of that. But they're never related to the monies we bring in, unfortunately, because a lot of them are at no cost. I'll leave it at that. As far as there are some major programs that went on for the 2 months of May and June, and you can review those, and I would like to open it up for any questions at this time.
Any questions? No questions.
No questions, then I would recommend that we accept. Oh, D1 and...
I'll tell you the story later. I went to the state fish and game meeting yesterday up in Sacramento on the marine life protected areas. And once again, they treated the public very shabbily. They had the meeting in a room a lot smaller than they was necessary to have the meeting in. They kept the people who came the furthest. They put their things on the agenda later in the evening. So, but it's a very important thing happening right now. I think everyone should be made aware that there is a meeting on August 15th in Monterey that will probably be the meeting where they determine which maps they choose to keep people from fishing, and this is sports fishermen, commercial fishermen. They're basically, if they pick the one that it looks like they're going to pick, it's going to make it even more dangerous for people to go out fishing. They're going to have to go further to fish. It's going to be another nail in the coffin of the fishing industry in this town, and it's one of the few things we have left, and it's one of the reasons that tourists come to this town. So I would hope that everyone, and not just fishermen or people that get grant money from environmental groups, show up at these meetings. I hope the motel owners show up at these meetings. I hope the restaurant owners show up at these meetings. People that realize how many people come to town to go sports fishing. If you were here when the heat wave was going on last couple, or right now even, if you go down to Verge's Landing, their boats are sold out. There's thousands of people going through this town, and they're coming, and they're bringing their families. They're going fishing. And the families are wandering around in the stores buying things, and it's very good for the economy. It's the way it's always been for the last 50, 60 years. And if we lose that, we're going to lose a lot. So that's August 15th in Monterey, and I don't exactly know where it is yet. I don't think they've determined that. But I hope people stay in, and that people that aren't within the fishing industry and other industries directly related to fishing show up, that, that can let them know how important this is to our city. Then on another note, 4th of July, the bathrooms being locked on the 4th of July. I talked to Andrea about this, and I know that Mayor Peters has said that she's going to bring this to the council. I think it's absolutely absurd that we have these grabbing restroom facilities for people that come to our town to spend money. So that's all I want to say about that. Thank you.
Any other? Okay. We have no public hearings. Are there any future agenda items that anyone would like to have declared? A motion for adjournment?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay. We're done.
Thank you.